Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yes, for VRTrader.com, we're continuing to offer for first-time subscribers 50% off. You go to VRTrader.com and you enter the promo code 2022 half off, and you can pick any of one or more of our newsletters for any time frame you specify. And I also like to make that disclosure that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I'm a newsletter publisher commentator.
Well, usually we wade into the stock markets to start off with, but it is the first day of summer, the summer solstice. Does that have any effect on the markets?
Huge effect. The headline of my newsletter, the last maybe subheadline of my newsletter, was using that robot from the old science fiction TV show, Lost in Space, where the robot would say, "Danger, danger, Will Robinson." So I actually had that in my newsletter tied to two events. Not only that, we have the full moon and we have the summer solstice all coming into play today. And it's no coincidence that NVIDIA, which is the biggest stock in the U.S. or maybe the world stock market, hit a high and reversed dramatically to the downside today, coincident with those cyclical events. Now, whether it continues for more than one day, it should. But that big reversal is sort of a sign to me, tied with the cycles, that we may have hit a market top here for a while. So not every stock's going to go down. We have some real overdone situations in the semiconductors and high-tech names. But the full moon and the the seasonal event here, which is the summer solstice. I keep getting the solar events mixed up. We do have those, though there's no current active solar activity, but and it indicated that the market rallied into these cyclical events. So it would say possibility of a near-term top here, maybe a bigger one. It's hard to say, but I wouldn't be, except for selective trades, which we're always doing, I wouldn't be a buyer of the market here. You know, there's always individual stocks, that we like. We can talk about some of those in the energy space, for example, but it's definitely an important event today.
And, of course, a full moon, bizarre behavior. We had a woman out howling on the street at 4 o'clock in the morning. We had a stabbing on what's usually a very quiet and peaceful walkway where we usually go out for our evening stroll. So, weird behavior.
Lunacy. That's what they call lunatics tied to the full moon, emergency rooms have noticed this for years. There's more activity. We talk about a lot of things, on this show and my interviews. We talk about things that are just not discussed in the conventional media, which is why I enjoy doing it, though I'm sure they're listening to it and they're being influenced indirectly because I'm widely followed, having, been doing this for 45 years and being a former elf of the old Wall Street Week television program on PBS and so forth. So, they don't talk about it, but these are powerful events. I've studied this now for decades. This is not just, I decided to do this. There's a long story behind it where I was exposed to this, and I start tracking it on my charts and seeing if there's correlations, and there's huge correlations between the moon and the seasonal patterns in the market. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there on a planetary and geocosmic level that people think, oh, that's astrology or that's nonsense. It's not. What is nonsense is the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government spending in the U.S. Congress and how they handle finances and why, you know, gold has been rallying and why we have the BRICS nations out there trying to, you know, take over the dollar because of the instability and insanity in the financial sector of our government, whether it's the Federal Reserve or Congress. So these are the insane things, not looking at seasonal patterns and how markets affect are affected by this. So anyway, we'll see how it all plays out. We still have the U.S. presidential election. We have a lot of manipulation out there. You know, just saw, for example, today, crude oil prices ticked higher after the U.S. Energy Information Administration reported inventory declined by 2.5 million barrels for the week. In other words, there may be now need to buy and restock oil because it dropped, and that's sort of interesting that happened, and oil was strong today, and gold was strong today. So, you know, a lot of cross currents here, and fortunately we're in oil and we're in gold, so we benefited by this action.
We had a discussion with Ted Dixon on his broadcast for House Street about how the BRICS are organizing a gold-backed digital currency. The plan is 40% gold-backed, 60% fiat currency-backed. They wouldn't be printing any money. It's purely digital. And the idea is they want to get away from the U.S. petrodollar, and they also want to find some way to get around U.S. sanctions.
Well, you know, we know the central banks have been buying gold, and you know, with the currency variable there, it's been keeping the dollar strong, and it could be an interesting scenario that their gold buying and a strong dollar could still exist simultaneously, along with the creation of a BRICS alternate currency for a while. So it's there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and you just got to look at the charts of the individual markets and decide, you know, what you want to play here. But yes, there's a lot of reasons why the rest of the world doesn't trust the U.S. in terms of its financial situation. The debt is incredible, historic in nature, and you know, the risk of a default of the U.S. Debt is a risk. You know, people don't think it's possible, but anything is possible. And, you know, there's a lot of money moving away from, you know, dollar-based assets or U.S.-based assets or, you know, market-based assets for those reasons. You know, real estate, for example, is a hedge. Gold is a hedge. Oil is a hedge. Cryptocurrencies are a hedge. This new BRICS currency. So, you know, when you have idiots, I call them the Three Stooges, in the White House and in Congress running the financial situation here, you know, there are a lot of risks. And unfortunately, I'm so much of a contrarian. I just think the rally in the stock market, in a way, is sort of a manipulated, hedged event to try to distract from these other negatives. You know what I mean? Things could be falling apart, but I guess if your stocks are going up, you think everything is okay. But we do have the plunge protection team out there, the equity stabilization fund, and the government is in there, has been in there. I don't have the Freedom of Information reports. Nobody on financial television or radio wants to really talk about it. But if you get in there, I'm sure you see a lot of the moves have been based in government intervention. So it's a bit of a mirage, I think, the rally in the market, particularly with the election coming up. So you got to be really careful this year, Jim.
What's happening with copper?
Well, you know, it's, you know, I like copper stocks, particularly like Freeport, for example, because it's half gold, half copper. And, you know, the charts have been, you know, a bit extended, but, you know, the pattern is still bullish in my work. So, you know, a lot of it is related to, you know, again, gold involvement of a stock like Freeport, but you know, also the belief that, you know, the economy is getting strong and there's more need for copper. And even if you're a believer in EV and electric vehicles and all the alternate energy, including solar and so forth, you know, you know, uranium and the nuclear reactor business, you need copper in there. So it's moved up for you know, I guess industrial demand reasons or needed supply reasons. Now it's got a little overbought, and even Deepport and some of the others pulled back, but they're still in, I think, bull trends. So, you know, I'm very biased to the metals and to alternate investment, you know, so copper and palladium and platinum and rhodium and, you know, you name it, uranium, all plays away from, you know, anything that's physical, you know, really attracts me. Some are better, doing better than others, but base metals doing better, for example. There's been some consolidation in that industry. So anyway, yeah, it just has a little pullback here, but the trend still looks strongly higher to me.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's happening with Bitcoin and the other cryptos?
Well, they're treading sideways here, and they're like between a rock and a hard place on the charts. You know, I love Bitcoin. I think it could be 80, 90, 100,000. But the same token, you know, it tends to move, you know, with the markets to a certain degree. And if the markets, referring to the equity markets, have a pullback, it could impact, you know, the cryptos here. So there's support in the Bitcoin in that 56, 57,000 area, which is way below the market. It's trading in the mid-60s. If it breaks that, then you can have a more serious pullback. The breakout above that 73, 74,000 for Bitcoin would probably be the trigger for a more accelerated move. I think it's really like owning gold or any of the hedges to the market. You got to have a core position in there because you don't know if they can take it down first or just explode it through the highs. The trend's up. You got those ETFs out there, fund manager allocations into the crypto world. So, you know, my gut feeling is pull back a little bit more because of the, you know, the cycles in the market at this time of year that just came into play today, and the fact that, you know, speculation might bring these down a little bit, and there might be a better buying opportunity. But I'm still overall bullish, and as a trader, you know, we just watch it day to day. If we get a reversal pattern, we'll jump in. So I think it's like gold. You keep a core position. If you want to trade around it, fine, and silver the same thing. And if I had to make a call here, I would say probably you can buy it a little cheaper before it explodes into new highs, but you want to keep your foot in the door because there's so much pent-up buying for that, you know, and particularly if the BRIC nations are successful and there's more questions about the stability of the dollar and the U.S., you know, it's a universal currency, particularly Bitcoin now, and then there's so much international backing for it. It's a whole different scene than it was a couple years ago. So bullish, just not, you know, fully invested at the moment, sort of watching the chart to see if we get a, you know, a little bit more of a pullback here.
Do you think they're going to drop interest rates in the U.S. this year now?
Yeah, but it's meaningless. Yeah. You know, historically, when the Fed lowers interest rates, it may not apply in this cycle. That's usually because something negative has happened. And the markets historically actually go down after they lower rates. Now, again, this cycle is crazy and there's so much manipulation going on. So, you know, there could be some black swan event. We've had several black swan events here in the last couple of years that suddenly come out of the blue and surprise the markets. And, you know, in that event, the Fed might be forced to act. But, you know, it's really more what they're doing with money supply than it is interest rates. Because look at the market. The market, stock market, has absorbed the 5% interest rate on the part of the Fed, and that's short-term rates, not the long-term rates. The bond market is independent of the short-term rates, which the Fed controls. But despite the rates, market has gone up. Real estate is still strong. There's still less supply out there. I know it's tough financing homes and so forth. So looking at the interest rate, and this is a folly for the market because all year they were looking for a cut, and the markets were fearful that if they didn't cut right away, the market was going to go down, and what the market did is went up. Of course, it was manipulated to a great degree by the semiconductors like NVIDIA and so forth, which skewed the popular averages a lot higher than they would have been. But it's not what the Fed does. you know, in terms of the short-term rates. It has to do with their money supply. If they curtail money supply the way Paul Volcker did back in 1980, and really contract in lending and that kind of stuff, that is more serious, and they have not been doing that. So they speak with forked tongue. In other words, you know, they're not doing anything with interest rates. They're hinting they may lower them, but they're keeping the money supply liquid out there. And part of the reason is because of the banking situation. You have a lot of small regional banks that have many have difficulties ahead of them, particularly in the commercial real estate area. So the Fed's being really cautious here about curtailing money supply out there, and that's why I suppose the stock market continued up. And what the short-term rate means, what does it really mean? It really means very little. At least it's shown that way, or the markets have acted. So I'm not worried whether they lower rates or raise rates or what they do here. You have to look at these other variables. But it'll be interesting to see if we are going to have another crisis here, which would give the Fed an excuse to lower rates. I'm sure Jay Powell would love that if there was some event out there that, you know, took the burden off him a little bit in terms of his 2% target for rates. You know, some event, we had to raise it, we had to lower it because of this event, and we had to do something to protect the economy, and it's all BS, but it'd be interesting to see if that's how it all plays out. But, yes, the street's expecting some type of lower rate by the end of the year. It should be interesting how this all plays out. But, obviously, the lower and higher rates hasn't hurt the stock market.
With all of these office towers now almost abandoned and being sold for fire sale prices, could that knock a huge hole in the U.S. banking portfolio?
Well, there's a lot of talk about converting a lot of those to residential communities. You know, some can be done, some can't, because there's a housing shortage, particularly in the big cities. There could be an offset to that where government comes in and supports those properties or helps the conversion to help the immigrants and the refugees or whatever you want to call them, you know, the illegals, actually. But, you know, maybe that would support, you know, those properties to a certain degree. You know, and I heard and read that not all of them can be really converted practically because of the way they were built. But if the small regional banks are in trouble because of a lot of loans they made, not necessarily to the big properties, but smaller properties around the country, and because of the interest rate hike. So in the inability of these properties to sustain themselves at a refinance at higher rates. Yeah, there's still a problem out there with the commercial real estate, whether they could figure it out or not, or whether the government bails them out. That could always happen, I suppose. But I know the residential market is still reasonably strong. Of course, it depends which market you're in, you know, and you know whether it's here in Arizona or up in Vancouver or in Florida or in other, you know, Texas, other stronger markets. But I still think real estate's okay, but I would obviously stay away from big commercial buildings. The multifamily space has still been popular because people still need a place to live if they can't afford to buy a house. So the multifamily investments seem to be holding their own in their ability to keep those properties fully rented.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Talk to you next week, Jim. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.